Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus culminates all his instructions and his example to us about how to welcome him appropriately in today's Gospel, which he gives us three very important verbs to motivate our relationship with him, three responses to the grace that he gives us, three ways in which we will be able to demonstrate how we are like little children, as we heard yesterday in the Gospel, so that we might be caught up in that self-revelation of God who can be perceived only by the merest of children. First verb, come. Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." The word there to give rest is, "I will remake you. I'll give you a new birth. I'll give you a new creation." But it begins with that, "Come to me." God gives us the grace, but he wants our action. We've got to move. As we ponder a lot in the Gospel, Jesus does some things that are a little bit strange. When they're bringing him all these cripples, Jesus, rather than sort of going to the lowest place or going to where the cripples are, Jesus goes up a mountain so that the people will need to bring the cripples up the mountain, so that it, in response to his grace, they're doing some work. Jesus could very easily come into everybody's own home when he was preaching, when he was healing, when he was exercising. But instead, he goes to a place and he has people go out to meet him there. It's this mystery of God's action and his desire for our ownership of our own action, our freely saying, "I am going to take a couple steps of faith toward the Lord at the same time that I've got this incredible invitation. Come to me." Jesus wants us to come to him, not just generically. He wants us to come to him not merely with our labors and burdens, but he wants us to come to him through our labors and burdens. And our labors and our burdens are means by which he seeks to draw us to him, to give us that chance to say, "I cannot do it on my own." It's 1,000 degrees with 6,000% humidity today, Jesus. I don't feel like doing anything. I've got these types of projects. I'm dealing with this type of person with all their own issues. We need to pause for a second and say, maybe all of that is a blessing rather than a curse. It's precisely a means through which Jesus is creating that narrow way that leads to life. He wants us to come to him through those situations. Today in the first reading, we see what was the circumstance of the Israelites. They cried out through the words of the prophet Isaiah, "O Lord, oppressed by your punishment." What they thought was his punishment, it was the just punishment of their deeds that God allowed them to see, precisely so that they could convert. "O Lord, oppressed by your punishment." We cried out in anguish, as a woman about to give birth rises and cries out in her pain, so we were in your presence, O Lord. Salvation we have not achieved by ourselves for the earth. the inhabitants of the world cannot bring it forth. But your dead shall live. Their corpses shall rise. God will remake us. God will give us new birth. He will breathe within anew the breath of life. But we need to go to Him precisely with these invitations He gives us. Come is the first verb. We can examine ourselves about the initiative we take in responding to the Lord's gift of how often and how promptly and how cheerfully we go. Second verb, take. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, from meek and humble of heart. Well, let's just focus on the take my yoke upon you. Jesus, in a carpenter shop, would have made plenty of yokes. We know what yokes are. They're basically wooden harnesses to get two animals to work in concert, like two oxen. They would be sculpted, more or less, to try to fit the size of the people wearing them. Jesus doesn't just say, stay there, and I am going to place this yoke upon your shoulders. Jesus wants us to seize it. Take my yoke. Don't just permit it to be placed on you. Seek it. Go out toward it. See this as an opportunity to yoke yourself to me. 2 points about that. We know Jesus' yoke is the patibulum of the cross, the horizontal beam. He wants us to become Simons of Cyrene, yoked to Jesus. This is the means, this is the way toward refreshment, when we become one with Jesus in that yoke. Second thing, which is so important for every baptized Christian, but all the more important for religious women, is the word for yoke in Latin is yugum, J-U-G-U-M. To be yoked with Christ, the word is conjugum, spouse. To be yoked with Christ is that spousal union. And that spousal union happens through the exchange of vows, through seizing the cross, taking up our cross each day and following the Lord, knowing that we're not just extrinsically following footsteps, but when we seize that cross each day, we are yoking ourselves spousally to the Lord. So we'll have a chance to ponder in August when we celebrate the feast of St. Edith Stein, that you are called to be brides on the cross with Jesus. You're not a bride of Christ if you're rejecting the cross, because that is precisely the way you become conjugum, that you enter into a conjugal loving relationship with the Lord. So we can again look and see, okay, we've all got our crosses, we've all got our burdens. We let them happen to us because to some degree we can't avoid them. But do we interiorly seize them? Do we look at these as a means by which we can become so much more united to the Lord Jesus that He gives us His gifts? Third verb. The translation here is learn from me. But in the original Greek, it's learn me. Take my yoke upon you and learn me. And then Jesus gives a double predicate. For I am meek and humble of heart. He's humble and meek in allowing us to become yoked with Him spousally. But as we yoke ourselves to Him spousally, He makes us more and more like Him in His humility and His meekness. He goes on to say, this is the means by which you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. We can be misled by that adjective easy. Easy doesn't mean facile here. Easy means easy fitting. It's like a shoe that fits rather than a shoe that's not the right size, which is going to cause all types of blisters and other foot problems. His yoke is fit to our shoulder. It's perfectly sculpted for us. And even if it doesn't seem to fit totally, that is because over the course of carrying it, it is going to teach us humility and meekness. His burden light. That is because we're not carrying it alone. When we take his yoke upon us, we, like Simon of Cyrene, recognize that Jesus is carrying the other end. So not only the strength of Jesus lightens the yoke, but the love of Jesus beside us, next to us, within us, the yoke of Jesus, his own love, makes that burden lighter. And this is the means by which we will be remade. All three of these verbs, that we come with alacrity, with enthusiasm, that we seize that yoke, and that as we're yoked, we're learning Jesus. It's not just enough to be yoked to him, but as we are bound to him in that way, we recognize that that is the most important classroom of all, and that we become who we are and see ourselves as we are. That's what humility means. Humus. That we've got our feet on the ground, but we know that we're not just dirt, but God breathes into us that breath of life. That we see ourselves truly as God sees us. And the first and the most important part of that self-regard is that God loves us so much that he sends his Son precisely so that we can be yoked to him forever. We also see our failings. We also see how we kick against the goad and try, in a sense, to escape from the Christian call, which is to be yoked full-time to Jesus. But we see ourselves in all of that. We learn Jesus, and in learning Jesus, he fully reveals us to ourselves and makes our supreme calling clear. Somebody who illustrates how to do this is the great saint we celebrate today, St. Kateri Tekakwitha, who, since I have been translated to New York, I have an even greater devotion to, as I ponder the fact that she is a native of this state, born in Auriesville, a decade after Isaac Jogues, in her very village, laid down his blood to fructify that soil. She's a Mohawk. And after her parents and all of her family died in a smallpox epidemic, it was her uncle, who was the chief of the Turtle Tribe within the Mohawks, who was responsible for raising her. And her uncle had a great hostility toward the Black Robes, toward the Jesuit missionaries, tried to keep her as far away as possible. She'd already suffered labors and burdens, smallpox that continued to mock her face even though she survived. The death of her parents, the terrible sort of persecution within her tribe of her uncle and all the others who are anti-Christian. They had tried to marry her off at a young age, but she refused because she had already been fascinated by the Lord. And so she escaped and ran from Auriesville all the way up to Kahnawake, which is just south of Montreal. Quite a hike. It was there, in the Jesuit mission in Kahnawake, that after her baptism, she lived a life in which she was truly yoked to the Lord and found her burden easy fitting and light. She used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go pray no matter what the weather was. And Montreal then, as still today, the winters are brutal. They didn't open up the church until 7. But she would go and she'd pray, just seeing the tabernacle light, kneeling in the snow throughout the winter for hours. The cold, the wind didn't bother her because she was yoked to the fire coming from Jesus' Sacred Heart. She used to sleep on a bed of thorns in order to do reparation for the rejection of so many of her inner tribe of Jesus, and also for their conversion, that they might come to experience that the meaning of human life is to learn Jesus through this yoke given to us precisely in our labors and burdens. Her prayer and her Eucharistic piety not only made her humble and meek like the Lord, but made her charitable like the Lord. In the times where she wasn't praying, she was involved in the charity, especially toward the elderly and the infirm, in that Jesuit mission. She died 5 years after her baptism, at the tender age of 24. Not having accomplished all that much in worldly ways, but in the most important metric of all, becoming a real giant, precisely through living the gospel today. Sisters, Jesus comes to us every morning with this appeal. And if we respond to this appeal, no matter what happens to us in life by the standards of the world, we will become great like Kateri Tekakwitha. It's at the Eucharist that Jesus gives us this appeal every day. He says, come to me. As he comes all the way from heaven to us. He says, take all your burdens. That's what we offer at the offertory. Pray, brothers and sisters, that this sacrifice, mine and yours, may be acceptable. Sacrifice of all our work, all our hardship, all our fatigue, all our frustrations. We come to Jesus with them all, not escaping them. And we offer them together with his labors and sufferings to the Father, which makes all of our sufferings co-redemptive. Take my yoke upon you. This is where we literally become conjugum with Jesus in the consummation of that spousal union. As we, on this marriage bed of the union between Christ and his bride, the Church, become one flesh with the divine bridegroom. This is where we learn him through the word that is announced every day in the gospel in which Jesus speaks live. This is the way we learn him in that ineffable language of love from the inside out, as Jesus' own heart begins to echo within our mortal frame. And this is the way that he remakes us, so that as we go forward, no matter what our labors and burdens of this day, we'll recognize that they're tailor-made, and that with his strength and his love, far lighter. Right before Mass, the last prayer a priest prays is when he puts his chasuble on. And the prayer is, Domine quid existi, jugum meum suave est et onus meum leve, facut istud portare sic valiam, quod consequa tuam gratiam. Lord, you have said, my burden is light, my yoke is sweet. Sorry, my yoke is easy and my burden light. Grant that I may so wear this vestment that I might find your grace. We prepare for Mass, every priest does, by taking on the yoke of the Lord, so that we can celebrate this yoked to him. And it's a model of the liturgy of life, the Mass of every day, that is highlighted and culminated here. That it's here at Mass that the Lord puts his yoke on us, precisely so that we can find his grace. So let's come and seize it. And let's learn him in the process in such a way that we might become beautiful advertisements, helping others to come and seize and learn with us. Saint Kateri Tekakwitha.
Pray for us.